Our scripture reading for today is taken from the book of Acts, written by St. Luke, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. We join to sing. Fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus our Lord. My junior year in college, back then Bethany was a two-year college, so my third year of college I spent at Minnesota State University. We used to call it Mankato State. One day I was talking to some students in one of my classes, sort of after class. The night before, we were discussing an interview we had watched the night before. The night before, there had been an interview of a young man about 27 years old, who was suing his parents for $40,000. And he had his lawyer with them, and he was getting interviewed on one of the late-night talk shows. A number of us students had watched this, so we were discussing it. And apparently this young man was suing his parents for that amount of money because they had, in his opinion, killed his work ethic drive. And they asked him questions about, what were your parents like? They sounded like wonderful people. He admitted they were great parents and had given him many things. He grew up in an upper middle class home. They had even paid for his college education over in Hawaii. And yet he had now gone through about 12 jobs in 8 years. And he claimed that the problem in him was because of his mom and dad. So he was suing them for $40,000. And I just couldn't believe it. So we were discussing this after class the next day, but what really struck me was how many of my fellow students and even my professor kind of sided with this young man and kind of thought, well, maybe he's on to something here. And it was the first time in my life, I was probably 19, the first time in my life I remembered thinking to myself, man, how did I end up thinking so differently from peers of mine? What was it about how my parents raised me and the approach they took in raising me that sort of colored my thinking, that this just seemed appalling to me and ridiculous to me, and yet they seemed to be in agreement with that? Ever thought about that with your own upbringing and how your parents raised you? What was it about the approach of your parents and the way they thought and handled things that had an impact, that has had an impact on you? The story in front of us from this jailer at Philippi, one of the famous stories in the Bible, is there to teach us about our spiritual lives. There were, I'm sure, many conversions that were dramatic and that took place in the early church. Some of them are sprinkled into the book of Acts. But this one in particular, the Holy Spirit seems to dedicate a lot of time to and gives us quite a few details about it. And I believe that there's some really important lessons for us in the details. So as the gospel comes into this man's life, it starts to change very dramatically how he looks at life. Think about his situation. So initially when the earthquake takes place, he's about ready to kill himself. He's afraid the prisoners have escaped, which means he'll probably be held responsible, maybe have to face death himself for that. And in the moment of despair, he's about ready to end his own life. And Paul and Silas cry out to him, don't do it, because we're all here. And then he comes rushing in his moment of despair, had been just seconds away from entering eternity, and he now drops to his knees and asks the most famous and most important question anybody can ask, what must I do to be saved? And I don't care who you are or what's going on in your life, if you really think about it, that is the core question of life. What must I do to get out of my grave someday? And what's interesting is how St. Paul and Silas don't start giving him a whole list of things that he has to do to change his life. They don't give him a list of rules or anything. They don't tell him it's going to be hard and difficult. They just simply present Christ. They simply present what happened on the cross and put it in front of him in a little phrase. They simply say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. That's all they say. And through that powerful message, God, the Holy Spirit, can work faith and does work faith in this man's heart, that little phrase, and attaches him to the cross and everything that took place on the cross. And so he immediately has a change of heart toward God. It causes him immediately to look at his life in a whole different way. Just that little phrase, that beautiful little phrase of the gospel, has that power to work in us and to change how we look at God. I have many reasons in my life to be terrified of God because of the wickedness of my life. And yet because of Christ, because of the gospel, God, through that powerful message, has placed faith in my heart and caused me now to look at God as a God of peace. And he's done the same for everyone in this room. Now, it also causes this jailer to have a change of heart toward these men in front of him, toward the very people who are trying to spread and teach and preach the kingdom of God. It suddenly changes how he looks at them as well. Think about it. He goes from being an agent of the state who feels these two men are so damaging to society that they need to be locked up in a dungeon and chained to a wall, and now he wants to bring them home. Now he wants to bring them to meet his wife and his kids. Think how dramatically he changes his opinion in that sense, how the Holy Spirit does this, changes his view and colors his way of looking now at these men and what they're coming to do and what their mission has been to do to spread the gospel. And his first thought seems to be, I got to take this home. I've got to bring this amazing thing I have just learned about salvation through Christ, I've got to bring it home to my family. And just a little side note, we're told that immediately he and all his family were baptized. There was no waiting. There's no discretion about anybody's age. There's no particular waiting period to see if you're really committed to this before you commit your life to God. None of that, okay? Throughout Scripture, immediately he and all of his family were baptized. The means of grace, this beautiful, precious way of bringing forgiveness of sins and of bringing faith into the heart, is on the front end. It's not on the back end. It's not on the middle end. It's on the front end. And the saving power that has now worked in his heart to bring him into the kingdom of light now goes through him and must immediately color how he looks at his family, at his wife, and at his kids, wanting to make sure that they now also get to know this. Many years ago, I was a pastor up in Minneapolis. There was a very young couple that came to our church and was going through sort of like an adult instruction class. And they were doing it simply because they wanted their child in our private school. And they admitted to me later that they just wanted their child in a better school and had nothing to do with religion. But we required that they go through some classes to learn what their child would be learning about in our school. So in the second class, they came face to face with the gospel, with this beautiful, precious knowledge that Christ has done it all for us, and through faith in him we have heaven. And they were just like blown away by this. And I remember they came up to me after class and said, "Help us figure out a way to tell this to our family, because we're going to be going next weekend to a family reunion, and we've got to explain this to them." And I remember thinking, I never said a word about evangelism. I never said a thing about that you should bring this to other people. They hadn't heard that yet. And they wanted to. The gospel creates evangelists. The gospel creates the power in a person to want to bring the message of Christ to other people. It just stirs that up inside of us. We can't help ourselves when we know this precious truth about our Savior. And one last thing I'd like you to notice about this jailer at Philippi, and that is the joy that comes into this home because of this. Think of the dramatic change here. Their family could easily have heard the news that night that the dad had committed suicide. Just think what that would have been like for them to deal with. How horrible. And yet, instead, we hear this great joy that comes to them through the knowledge of the gospel. It touches all of their lives and brings great joy to the home. Now, let's be very clear. Having the gospel in your house and in your parents' lives and bringing that to your children doesn't automatically make all of our troubles go away in life. Sometimes it even makes new challenges. But there's an underneath it all foundational joy and peace that comes into the house and into marriages and into relationships with family members when the gospel is embraced and loved. Now, many of you college students, probably the vast, vast majority of you, are going to go on and get married someday. And probably the majority of you will be blessed by God to be parents someday. It's fantastic. So what are you going to bring home? What do you want to bring home to your family? Money? Some great award? Some great thing that you can send your kids out to do? What do you want to bring home to your wife, your husband, and your kids? Bring Christ. Bring the gospel. Jesus says, "Whosoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Amen.